From the NBC University Theater, an hour-length dramatization of Stefan Heim's novel of the war and after, The Crusaders. Our star, Mr. Cesar Romero. Herewith, one of the most significant novels to be inspired by the war against the fascists. Stefan Heim's intense work, The Crusaders. Radio adaptation by Ernest Canoy. In the role of Lieutenant Yates, one of Hollywood's most persuasive actors, Cesar Romero. At intermission, we will bring you a recorded commentary on the writing of Stefan Heim by Dr. Harvey C. Webster, Director of Education by Radio Courses at the University of Louisville. Here then, The Crusaders by Stefan Heim. Normandy, 1944. The last of the dead had been buried by the gangs and prisoners, and now the wind piled clean sand against the rows of crosses. An army jeep winds down the narrow road between the hedgerows, and in his seat, Lieutenant Davis shifts uncomfortably, then turns to his driver, Sergeant Bing.
Why don't you drive around those holes?
Look, Lieutenant, I just came back from questioning those German prisoners 2 days straight. My brain's fried.
What the devil's wrong now?
German prisoners.
Poor slobs. Look at their faces. They sure had it.
Are you kidding? I hate them. Get out of the way! Los! Los! Zero!
This is a scientific war, Bing. How can you understand the Germans if you hate them?
Don't worry, I can.
Well, perhaps I would if I were a refugee from Germany the way you were. But you've got to be detached.
Yeah, yeah.
Los! Los, I'll stay here!
You're very young, Bing.
This isn't your classroom, Lieutenant. Normandy isn't Coulter College.
Well, look at the other side of the question.
The other side?
Those Germans over there are doing the same things we're forced to. They follow orders. They've got the same trouble. They're the victims of their politicians the way we are of ours. That's what we have to understand, don't we?
You talk like the German prisoners.
Listen, Sergeant.
I can shut up. Only someday, Lieutenant, you'll have something in the one hand and something else on the other. And while your hands are full, you'll get kicked in the teeth.
You're pretty clever, Bing.
I try. Oh, there, it's clear. What's the rush, Lieutenant?
General Farish. He wants a special leaflet with a load about justice, democracy, freedom.
What, old Brimstone Farish?
That's not the tough part. We've got to turn him down cold.
Why?
That kind of decision is for top levels. We can't decide the official Allied war aims in between hands in a poker game. Why should our unit crawl out on a limb?
Uh-huh. Keep your mouth shut and never volunteer. The Army.
All our outfit's supposed to do is tell the Germans if they raise their hands, they'll get a gut full of corned beef hash and Nescafe.
Maybe that's why we're still bottled up in Normandy. Too much hash.
Well, that's no skin off of us, Bing. But I wish the devil they'd send somebody else to turn down Farish.
What? You mean to tell me your superiors would refuse my request?
Well, it's not that, General Farish.
It's the best idea I've had. Morning of July 4th. 48 guns shooting 48 rounds. Then silence. Dead silence. They're waiting for the infantry, the tanks. But bang, we shoot over the leaflet. What the devil's wrong with that, huh?
Well, sir, there are technical difficulties. We don't have enough time before the 4th. Sergeant Bing here is our technician. He'll tell you there isn't time.
Listen, Lieutenant, I'm no talker, see? I'm a fighter. I want that leaflet as a weapon. Soften those krauts up and then smash.
General, I...
Well, Sergeant?
I think we can get your leaflet out by the 4th.
Bing, nobody asked. What the devil do you mean by...
There, by Godfrey, when Farish wants something done, it's done. You say what I'd say, Sergeant. Strong. Make them know what an American is, see?
General, why don't you get those steps fixed?
Well, Karen. Lieutenant Yates, this is Karen Wallace, reports for the Burke Syndicate.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Karen, I've got something for you. Thought it up myself. This boy here, Bing, is that right?
Yes, sir.
He's going to put my thoughts in German for a leaflet. How's that for a story, eh?
Sounds good. Can I get transportation over to their unit?
I'll have Yates here drive you over. All right, Yates?
Of course, I'll...
But hurry back. Always like to have a lady around. A general's privilege. 48 rounds from 48 guns. Best blasted idea I ever had.
Lieutenant Yates.
What do you want, Abramovich?
They telephoned you were bringing the ladies, sir. Major Willoughby wants you to take her right in to see him.
Pulling rank already?
All right, Bing, get out. I'll put the jeep away. You get some chow. You've got a hard job ahead. You shot your mouth off, and now you've got to figure out for General Farish why we're fighting the whole stinking war.
Well, come on, Abramovich. We're late for chow.
I was in guard duty. It'll be called sea ration.
I like sea ration. Abramovich, what are you doing in the army?
Living? A war is absolutely no good for you unless you come out alive.
You mean all you want is to come out alive?
I'm honest. I want to live. I'm essential for the army. I know English and German shorthand. I do just what it says in Field Manual 21-100. When I was a boy, I ran away from Romania so I wouldn't be in the army. For America, I'm an essential soldier, so maybe I'm crazy. Here's the kitchen.
Hey! Hey, Dandolo!
Hold on to your hair. Hey, you KPs, you're on your own time. Don't make no never mind of me if you work all night.
What do you guys want?
Chow?
Chow? Abramovich wants chow. You get that fatso wants chow. You jerks drag over here. Chow time. You get chow. Not now. This ain't no restaurant.
I got a right to chow. I got my mess kit ready.
You got a right. You... I'll fix your mess kit. I'll fix it. Good.
You got no right to do that. I...
For crying out loud, Dandolo.
Nobody eats without I say so.
I got a right to chow. I was on guard duty and
all
I want...
All right, all right. I'll give him something. I'll give him something good. Coffee. Nice, fresh coffee, right in the kisser.
Why, you rotten two-bit louse. I ought to turn you in.
Come on, Bing. Come on and fight if you want to. Come on.
Wouldn't you like that? You'd be hollering for Captain Loomis like a stuck pig. Oh, no, I'm not getting busted for a scum like you.
Oh, you yeller, both yous yeller. Foreigners, you all yeller.
Let's go, Bing. I lost my appetite.
Wait a minute. Dandolo, I want to ask you a question.
What do you mean? What do you want?
What do you think this war is being fought for? Why are you in it?
Me? I got nothing to do with it. I was drafted.
Did you ever think about the guns, Dandolo? You can get torn apart like that.
I'm not going to die. What are you bulling about?
You're afraid, aren't you? Afraid of dying. Maybe it's those two kids of yours. Are you fighting for them?
Shut up! Sure. Sure, I'm fighting for my kids, sure. It's because of people like you I had to leave them. A bunch of Jews get himself in trouble and the whole American army swims across the ocean. That Hitler, he knew what he was doing. We should be fighting with him on the same side. That's it. Yeah, that's it. We're fighting on the wrong side.
Sergeant. Sergeant Bing.
Oh, Miss Wallace. Well, how was dinner?
Oh, fine. How are you coming with the leaflet?
Well, I've been making kind of a poll, trying to find out why people are fighting the war.
Well... How about the Four Freedoms?
Pretty hazy. The Germans wouldn't bite.
How about the flag? Our traditions?
The crowd's got more tradition and a darn sight more flags. Oh, I feel lousy.
Tired.
It's got me beat.
You know, when it gets down to wars, I suppose they're all alike. Some men fighting for their lives, some for dollars, and a few fools fighting for an idea.
No, that's not it. Look, take the mess sergeant, Dandolo. He said we should be fighting on Hitler's side. As a matter of fact, he should. He's as much a fascist as anybody in the Nazi party.
War for democracy.
That's the point. Maybe this is what I want. Look, Dandolo, he's the mess sergeant. It doesn't matter what he thinks. He's cooking chow for the unit. He slops out sea ration for me, and I write a leaflet about what we're fighting for. The war. The war, that's the right thing. One slimy louse can't stop it.
Well, I've seen a lot of lice, some a lot bigger.
Sure, but the army, the whole stinking army, it does what America wants it to do, see?
A crusade.
Wallace. Miss Wallace.
Oh, over here, Lieutenant.
Oh, you found company.
Sergeant Bing tells me we're on a crusade.
I suppose we are. I seem to remember that a great many of the original crusaders were more interested in loot than the Holy Land.
But they couldn't have gone if there was no idea. Look, we've got crooks on our side. Probably big crooks, but they're in the crusade. They've got to get their jobs done, too. Look at Farish. He's a dog, and I hate his guts, but he's the best blaster tank general in the ETO. He's in the crusade whether he likes it or not.
Well, there are two sides to all this, Bing.
Oh, sure. Sure, Lieutenant. There's always two sides.
Anyway, thanks for taking good care of Miss Wallace. Good night, Sergeant. Good night.
Oh, wait, Lieutenant.
Major Willoughby is waiting for you at the party, Miss Wallace. Will you take my arm?
Oh, well, Miss Wallace. A drink? Yeah, we're all ahead of you. Scotch, rye, Calvados.
Scotch, thanks. I've been hearing about General Farish's leaflet.
Hey, what? Oh, yes, the leaflet. Mm-hmm. Colonel DeWitt is in London, or he'd raise the roof. But in any case, Farish won't get it.
Has anybody told him?
This is off the record, Miss Wallace. Karen. But there won't be any leaflet. I've stopped all that.
What did you do, Major?
Well, you see, General Doran, Corps Artillery, is an old friend of mine, law school. A few words on the telephone about waste of ammunition. I expect by this time General Farish has given up his project. Well, shall we drink to the late lamented leaflet? Lieutenant Yates, go get the lady another drink.
Lieutenant Yates, I want to show you the leaflet.
The leaflet?
Yes, I finished it before I heard the roof fell in. There's an English translation attached here. Salute to the 4th of July, to a nation of free men equal before the law, determined to govern themselves. For these rights we fought in 1776, for these rights we fight today.
You have a fine German style, Bing. I had a student
I've got the punch at the end. If you want to save yourself, if you want to save Germany, there's only one way out. Stop the war.
Interesting. The question is, do you believe it?
Lieutenant, when I crossed you up with Farish, I didn't know why I did it, but I wanted to turn out the leaflet. I've been talking to a lot of men since then. Oh, some stink. They'd be guards in American concentration camps. But most of the guys, they'd say, who are you trying to push around? What are you trying to put over?
Bing, the trouble with you is you still think this war is a bloody crusade. I almost wish I could think so. I've seen too many crusades on the campus at Coulter College, and I've seen the look in kids' eyes when they find out the idea's been sold down the river. I can't feel anything anymore. I suppose most of my generation is like that. Like a doctor with his hand on a patient's head, I can sense the fever, but I can't burn myself.
That's what I mean, Lieutenant. Crooks like Dandolo, they're in it, and they've got to do their share. Tired-out intellectuals like you, you're in it, too.
Well, thanks.
It's a necessary war, Lieutenant. It's a war America's for, and it'll be fought no matter what we do. You've got to push with it.
Well, don't get in a rash over it, Bing. The leaflet's been killed. It's an academic discussion.
Yeah? I wonder how academic it'll be when Farish finds out.
General Farish,
I'm glad... Some lily-livered weasel tipped off Corps.
General,
this morning I get a call. 4 o'clock in the lousy morning. Farish, he says. Farish, the 4th of July business is a waste of ammunition. It's out. All right. Who spilled his guts to Corps?
Well, we assumed Corps was behind your plan, General.
Well, they are now. I told that swivel chair buzzard.
There are enlisted men around, sir.
I don't give a hoot. I talked him into having the whole army in Normandy pull my stunt.
Oh, magnificent.
Who the devil are you?
Major Willoughby, sir. Colonel DeWitt's exec.
Willoughby, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, listen, what I need is this. I'll have to make Dorr eat his words. I'll need some guarantee that some krauts will come over with their hands up after we shoot over those leaflets. What can you do about that?
Well,
Major.
General, I'm afraid...
The loudspeakers.
What the devil's going on here?
I... I think we may be able to guarantee you results, General. Suppose we place a loudspeaker team at your disposal. They'll go into the line and they'll talk across to the Germans. We've had a great deal of success that way.
You did, huh? Loudspeakers.
There are a number of good men. Lieutenant Laborde in charge.
That'll do, Major. I'm not interested in your bloody details. Loudspeakers, huh? All right. Let's have one.
Sergeant Bing, we've got to get those loudspeakers closer to the Germans.
How about it, Captain Troy?
Listen, Lieutenant, that fool truck of yours is going to draw fire, maybe hit one of my men. I don't know where you've been with this psychological outfit, but my company's been on the line since the beach. Every day I got a report, killed and wounded.
See here, I got General Farish's
orders. Listen, Laborde, don't have me no trouble.
Look, Captain Troy, we're wasting time. Maybe we can find some place that won't draw fire.
Okay, come on.
Wait.
Hey, what's that?
Dead cow, very dead. I can't have it buried. The other side of this hedge is under fire.
Suppose I set the speaker up here.
Three of our boys got killed out here the other day. Swelled up in the heat. You don't like to look at it. You can't help it. That lieutenant of yours, what's his name?
Laborde?
Yeah, Laborde.
He's eager, but I suppose that's okay.
The valor of ignorance. I read that somewhere.
Hey, what's going on over there?
Shut up and get down in that hole.
Want to get us killed?
Get the tin horn out of here! Blow!
I got the speaker set up.
Keep Blow getting back. Let's go.
Bing, hurry up there. We're late.
Now why didn't you help instead of standing there with your thumb in your mouth?
Captain, I'll have you...
Look, Laborde, get started and clear out of here. I'll be bringing up mortars.
Okay.
Let's go. Hurry, I don't want none of my boys hurt.
All right, sir. Here goes.
Achtung! Achtung! Deutsche Soldaten! Achtung! Achtung! Achtung!
Well?
I'm tired.
What happened, Bing?
Oh, let me alone, Lieutenant.
What happened?
We got 14 of them. Came right over with their hands up in the air holding the leaflet. Two got it before they hit cover.
12 live prisoners. Farish will like that. Did you get Chow?
I don't want any.
If there's any trouble with Dandolo, I'll be...
Look, for crying out loud, Lieutenant, I couldn't eat.
What happened?
Tolatrian.
Wounded?
Dead.
Tough. Good guy.
He didn't have to die. That slimy creep Laborde made him go out after the loudspeakers.
But they're expendable. We can get new ones whenever we need them.
Tell that to Laborde. Tolatrian's dead.
Futile. There isn't much use in anything, is there, Bing?
I didn't say that. Neither did Tolatrian.
Now, take it easy, Bing.
All right. All right, only I carried Tolatrian back. He was ripped open, but he asked if we got the prisoners. Laborde, he may be futile, but not Tolatrian. Now leave me alone, Lieutenant. Leave me alone.
Okay, Bing. Only you better get some coffee. 12 prisoners. Farish will like that.
All right, gentlemen. No more cameras. I haven't got time.
What's the next move, General?
A series of pincer movements. Surprise, gentlemen. Surprise. And the main push will be on Paris. The tanks will roll the same road Napoleon took after his victories. For Paris, gentlemen, is victory.
What's in that bottle? Whiskey? Here, you want cigarettes? Chocolate?
No. C'est pour vous. Eau de vie pour l'Américaine.
How do you like that? A bottle of liquor for free. Yates, this is the town. Paris. Yahoo!
All right, that's all. You hear the cannon? The
It's all the garbage I got. Now beat it. Beat it.
Stinking pigs digging in the garbage.
They have hunger, my friend Dondolo. Paris is a hungry city.
Yeah. Yeah. You Frenchmen fight over the garbage, and them louses in the company complain I ain't giving them enough tea. Well, Sirir?
Today I could use coffee. Coffee and cigarettes.
No coffee. I got a bag of potatoes, bacon, and canned milk. How much?
4,000?
A pig's eye. I'd rather eat it myself.
Think of the poor people who have to buy this, Sergeant.
Don't worry. They'll pay. 5,000. Hand the dough over.
Careful, someone might see.
Bull. Nobody dares touch me. Listen, I ain't the only one you've been doing business with. You gotta go to Captain Loomis for the gas you've been selling on the black market. I ain't the only one. Paris means dough if you know your way around. You gotta know your way around.
Right this way, Major Willoughby. I was expecting you.
Thank you, your...
My friends call me Prince Breskin.
Ah, yes. Well, you know, of course, that before the war, I represented the law firm of Coster, Brewer, Regan, and Willoughby.
I understand.
Mm. Prince, suppose I come to the point. Now, your company, Delacroix, worked for the Nazis through the occupation.
Just a moment, Major. Are you speaking as the American Army, or...
Merely on behalf of our clients. We are interested in the place Delacroix will have after the war.
Major Willoughby, there are other factors. Investigating commissions, tribunals.
Yes, well, if we can make a preliminary agreement, Prince Breskin, then perhaps we can discuss methods of avoiding unfortunate investigations into Delacroix. Naturally, our arrangement will be confidential.
Oh, of course, Major Willoughby. You will find me the soul of discretion. It will be up to you, Major, to help us avoid interference. And I have every confidence in you.
There's the report, Lieutenant, like I said.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
I don't know, sir. But they've arranged to send those DPs we liberated back to the Delacroix mines.
Look, Bing, that's not my department.
For crying out loud, Lieutenant, these people are being sent back to the same stinking mines where the Nazis had them.
Well, after all, Bing, the mines have to be worked.
It's no good, Lieutenant. If we free Hitler's prisoners and send them back to the same slavery. I thought you'd see it the way I do. You were behind me on that leaflet.
I stuck my neck out. What'll this get us? There's nothing one man can do.
That's easy to say, isn't it, Lieutenant?
All right, all right. It's probably too late anyway.
It's not too late for people who are still alive, Lieutenant. Too late, that's easy to say.
All right, cut it out. I'll do what I can. I'll go see the head of Delacroix. Maybe I can find out something. Now get off my back, Bing. Quit riding me.
Sure. Sure, Lieutenant. Oh, I've got the name of the Delacroix big shot for you. Breskin. Prince Breskin.
Okay. I'll probably get my neck out so far, somebody will snap it off. Colonel DeWitt's back from London, and he's boiling mad already. This little trip will put on the finishing touches.
Willoughby, I won't have it. I won't have it in my outfit.
Colonel DeWitt, I don't understand.
Look at this report. The MPs picked up a Frenchman peddling food from our kitchen on the black market, named Sirir. Works for Prince Breskin of the Delacroix Company.
I don't understand how I can...
Yates here tells me you visited Breskin.
Well, I was seeing Breskin about something else. Did Lieutenant Yates suggest I was involved
no,
in it?
No. He's got something else about DPs being sent back to the Delacroix mines.
Oh, that. Why, yes, we're having the mines reopened. I have a report for you, Colonel. We need the production and...
Look, this is off the point. Well, to me, I'm leaving this up to you.
Oh, Colonel, if I could question this Sourire... Maybe we could get the connection between Delacroix and the Nazis.
I'll take care of that, Lieutenant.
All right, Willoughby. But get the black market out of our kitchen. I'll give you till tonight.
What, Yates?
Major?
What were you doing visiting Breskin?
They're reopening those mines. The same poor devils the Nazis had in them.
That wasn't your job, Yates.
Are you protecting Breskin, Major? There were rumors about him during occupation.
I'll be frank with you, Yates. My law firm takes care of Delacroix interests in the States. That's no secret. We're faced with an issue, Yates. We've got to get production started over here.
Under the same men who worked for the Nazis?
Now, you can't run mills without know-how. We don't want chaos and upheaval.
Well, no. There is democracy, though.
That's not the point, Yates. We've got to get production, and we won't get it without Bereskin.
That isn't the only choice.
Well, what is? It's easy enough to be a man of goodwill on a college campus, Yates.
Look,
but
Major...
But you're over your head now. Your neck is way out, way out.
I'm beginning to think it isn't out far enough.
Yates, I'm trying to be reasonable. Stick to your duties. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, about this black market business, take that mess sergeant. What's his name?
Dondolo.
Break him. Get him out of the kitchen.
How about the Frenchman?
Turn him over to the civil authorities.
And Bereskin?
Be sensible, Yates. Prince Bereskin doesn't know every two-bit driver who works for him. Would Delacroix be interested in peddling potatoes by the five-pound bag?
I guess not.
Yates, remember, this war isn't over yet.
I know.
No, not by a long shot. It's going to be tough weather ahead.
It looks like rain now.
It's going to rain all winter. It's that kind of country.
From Hollywood, the NBC University Theater is bringing you Cesar Romero in a radio version of Stephen Heim's The Crusaders. If you are interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC University Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, Dr. Harvey C. Webster of the University of Louisville.
Were they crusaders, or were they merely conquerors? That is the fundamental question Stephen Heim's most sensitive and sympathetic characters ask. To be only conquerors, like the Romans and many other powerful before, was not enough for Sergeant Bing, who had lived among the Nazis, knew how bad they were, knew how good America could be, and how bad it might become. Was not enough for Lieutenant Yates, who loved, with a diffident, hopeful skepticism, America's promise. There were others, as you have heard, of course, who wanted only to be conquerors, the victors to whom the spoils belonged. All that these others, Major Willoughby, Sergeant Dondolo, Captain Loomis, knew was what they egocentrically wanted. For them, America was promises to the strong who forced the weak against the wall. This dramatization, and the interestingly complex 600 pages of the novel upon which it is based, is, in other words, more than just a novel about war. It is about America, what it might lamentably or greatly become. For war forces the good and the bad in people and in the society they constitute into a kind of exaggerated clarity. The capacity for sickness or for health that is always there in peace breaks out into heroism, idealism, cowardice, and villainy when war happens. So war is, by a curious paradox, what peace has been making men become, what is making what the peace that follows will become. No good war novel, neither the excellent The Naked and the Dead by Norman Mailer, Irwin Shaw's admirable The Young Lions, Alfred Hayes' beautifully wrought All Thy Conquests, nor Mr. Heim's The Crusaders, is only a war novel. It is also a novel about society, the men in it, and the more muted warfare that seems to go on even when we are in periods of technical peace. When you read The Crusaders, as I hope this dramatization will impel you to do, you will discover that both I and the dramatization oversimplify, of necessity, the vivid complexity that is the book. Stephen Heim has already established his considerable competence in his two previous novels, Hostages and Of Smiling Peace. From his own war experience, he knows what war does and what the army is like. If you were in the war, you relive it as you read. If you were not, you live it. You begin to share, or you share again, the fears and the horrors and the hopes. You become aware of what man can do and of what he too often badly does. You are shocked out of complacency, surely the gravest disease one can have in a democratic society. You begin to think hard about what our past has been and what our future may become, and you will be grateful, I think, to discover that The Crusaders is an American novel in which an American of goodwill and good skill has exerted the peculiarly American privilege of criticizing America.
Thank you, Dr. Webster. Our radio version of The Crusaders, starring Cesar Romero, We'll continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
December 14th, 1944. The enemy is capable of launching a powerful counteroffensive. It's bad news, General.
You're bloody well right, DeWitt. If those lousy Judases hadn't black marketed my gas on the streets of Paris, we'd be across the Rhine now. How can I run tanks without gas?
It looks bad now.
Bad? Do you know what's happened? The Germans have broken through in the Ardennes. The 106th at St. Vith. The 101st Airborne at Bastogne. They're being cut to ribbons. It's a bulge, DeWitt. And the worst licking we've taken so far.
Hey. Hey, Trom.
Shut up and keep an eye on Sorelli.
I see him. On the stinking snow, when do we head back?
We find out if the road's clear.
Hey, you hear something?
Artillery.
No, over there through the fog. Listen.
I don't know.
Holy tanks, a whole lousy Panzer regiment.
We better get off the road.
Spread over the field. Pass the word. Get down.
Down. Down.
Don't let him go by. God, don't let him see us.
Pro,
shut up.
Open up. Open up. Get that AR off the trench. Into the trench.
Get your hands up, Pyers.
We're
looking.
Only name, rank, and serial number. That's all we're telling, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
My arms are tired.
Well, keep them up. That crowd is coming over here.
Name, rank, and serial number. They can't do nothing to prisoners of war, can they?
Oh, I know. Keep your hands up.
Unter Offizier. Come and see here.
Jawohl, Herr Ober.
What are they saying, Trump? You speak German?
I can't hear.
Unter Offizier. Talk to me, Allah.
Oh, no.
What is it, Trump? What's the story?
Oh, they can't.
Fire!
They can't!
Lieutenant Yates.
Captain Troy.
Yates, help me with this man.
Name, rank.
What happened?
That shield. That shield.
You know where the rest of his platoon is? Here, let me take him.
Easy.
Piled up in the snow. 15 of them. All in one lousy heap.
He's hit bad. Medic! Medic!
They didn't have their weapons. Gave up. Prisoners of war.
Take it easy, Captain.
You know how it was? I go down on my knees, see? I dig in a pile. I'm their captain. I gotta find the dog tags. I'm the captain of a pile of dead men. They never had a chance. Before God, they never had a chance.
Medic!
15 men, my men, all in one lousy pile.
Easy, Troy.
Yates, I want you to do something for me. You question prisoners. There must have been witnesses. You find out who gave the orders to kill my men.
Sure, all right, Troy. Medic!
I'm a Christian man here, but before God, I'll... Yates, you find out who gave that order.
Another prisoner, Lieutenant.
Sachsensee.
I don't know no German.
They picked him up in this GI uniform, Lieutenant.
Listen, Lieutenant. I'm Sergeant Howard Bethune from Chicago.
He was picked up by a Negro company. The Lieutenant sent a letter along. He sounded fishy. Didn't know who Popeye was or who won the World Series. Then he shot off his yap calling those colored guys' names. Looks like they mussed him up a little.
This is a lot of bull. I ain't no spy. Here's my pay book and my dog tag.
Let's hear some of your army record. Talk.
I was inducted at Fort Sheridan, basic training at McClellan in Alabama. Then I was POE to Repel Depple in England.
Bing, what do you think?
I don't know, Lieutenant. Sounds fishy to me.
All right, Sergeant, one question. What's T.S.? What's T.S.? You tell me and I'll let you go.
I'm an American soldier. You can't do this to me.
All right, Sergeant. You've got three. What's T.S.? One? Two?
I know, sir. I just can't remember.
Tough.
tough situation.
I'm an American. My dog tags...
They shoot spies, soldier. Take them out in time to post and shoot them.
No, listen. I'm Sergeant Howard Bethune from Chicago. I'm an American.
Bing, go out and get me four MPs, the biggest you can find.
Yes, sir.
And tell them to bring their clubs.
What do you mean? What are you going to do?
And a bucket of cold water in case he faints.
Yes, sir.
And tell them to bring a bayonet, a sharp bayonet.
Right, Lieutenant, a sharp bayonet.
No. Nein, ich bin Deutscher. Ich hatte Befehl, hier in El Fahrt zu töten.
There we are. Take notes, Bing. I'm a German. I had orders to kill General Farish. There it is, Major Willoughby. 400 English-speaking Germans in American uniforms loose behind our lines.
Well, good work, Yates. That's big.
We've got the name of the man who trained them. Colonel Eric Pettinger of the SS.
Pettinger, Good. We'll send that name back to intelligence.
That isn't all. Pettinger has field command now. The 412th Panzers.
Well?
He was in command when those prisoners were shot down. Captain Troy's men. He gave the order.
Yes, that was a dirty business. I'll mention that in my report. You do fine work when you stick to your job.
You didn't think so in Paris.
Still chasing old stories, huh? Well, make your report in writing. We'll forget about Paris.
I don't think so. Back in Paris, you explained what you thought the war was all about. I saw your point. It seemed to me I could always see two sides to everything.
Huh?
Spent my life balancing two sides to every issue.
What are you blatting about, Yates?
About Pettinger. You told me it was easy to be a man of goodwill on a college campus. It was. I was always sure that the logical, rational, intellectual approach would win. But those 15 men piled in the snow, they surrendered. They were under the protection of international law, the Geneva Convention.
Look, Yates, this is no time for a Socratic soul-searching. I'm not at all interested in your inner torment.
I suppose not.
You write out your report, and I'll see that it gets to General Farish. You've done a good job on this, Yates. Don't stick your neck out any further.
All right, gentlemen, one more question. I'm late for staff conference.
General, what's the next move?
Well, you can say the German offensive power is broken. We have them in a tight ring, and we'll destroy every remaining unit. It's mopping up, gentlemen, just mopping up.
Bing! Sergeant Bing!
You want me, Lieutenant?
You going out again with a loudspeaker tank?
So they tell me. Me and Lieutenant Laborde.
Look, if you want me to speak to Captain Loomis, Laborde's crazy. He keeps going on lone wolf missions.
The valor of ignorance.
What?
Oh, you remember that infantry Captain Troy? That's what he said the day Tolakian was killed.
Mm. Suppose I have you replaced.
Ah, forget it, Lieutenant. Why worry about me all of a sudden?
I don't know. Maybe I learned something from you. That 4th of July leaflet. What this whole business is about. Bing, you always talk like you know. What's the answer? Those ideas of yours, how do they match up against Talachian dying? Against Dandolo and the black market? Against Willoughby and Prince Bereskin?
I am an optimist, Lieutenant. That whole crooked bunch, they try to get away with something. But in the meantime, they have to do their job. And in the long run, the job catches up with their own crooked deals.
But how about Talachian? How about the ones who get it through stupidity or just plain evil?
Lieutenant, you can't run a perfect army. The war gets fought. If you know what the score is, you've got to go out on a limb.
Stick your neck out? Willoughby said that. He warned me not to.
But listen, I'm not trying to make a missionary out of you, a crusader, a Sir Galahad with a silver bar.
What do you mean?
You're falling off the other side of the fence, Lieutenant. It's noble. Real noble.
Now what the devil's eating
you? You can't always just be a teacher interesting himself in the problems of the surrounding community.
You're crazy. You're all mucked up. What do you want from me? You ride me for 6 months to stick my neck out, to fuck the whole stinking chain of command, and now... What do you mean?
You've got to work with people sometimes, Lieutenant. Not just for them.
Bing! Get on over here! Bing!
Listen, Bing, I don't understand.
Get on the ball, Bing. We're late.
What are you driving at?
Well, now, don't worry about it. The war gets fought. So long, Lieutenant Gates.
Okay, I'm coming. Let's take off.
Now, wait a minute, Bing. Wait a minute. I don't understand.
So long, Lieutenant. You ain't too bad.
You'll make out.
Here it is, Abramovici. Still burning.
Don't get too close, Lieutenant. There might still be live ammunition.
Not in those flames. Look at it. The loudspeaker's all twisted.
Stinks from burning rubber. Maybe we should call Graves Registration to take out the bodies.
Nothing left but ashes. The war gets fought. Well, come on.
Excuse me a minute, Lieutenant. For Sergeant Bing, it's right there should be a prayer for the dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so.
It's a soldier's right, a prayer for the dead. Iska dalvi iska dash shmei rabo polmo tifrei chirusei viam lich malchusei.
The war gets fought.
Major Willoughby.
Sir.
My division had the best blasted record in the fight. And now the war is over, I'm going to have the best record in the occupation. Kremen is my town, and I want it like my division. Spit and polish.
Yes, sir.
I'm putting you in charge. I want things in order. Streetcars running, sewers. I've had four lousy kraut mayors already. You get me one who'll stick. Get Kremen in order. Clean, spit, and polish.
So, Herr Lumlein, you will take office as Burgermeister immediately.
It will be an honor, Herr Willoughby.
Herr Lumlein, I'll speak frankly. I realize, as director of the Rentellen Company, you had to work along with the Nazis to protect your holdings.
We are only businessmen, Major.
Yes. Now, understand, Lumlein, a wholly German-owned plant may be considered war potential. We might destroy it or use it for reparations.
Nein, nein, schrecklich.
Yes. So, I propose we discuss a plan where Delacroix of Paris might become interested in your plant as they were before the war.
But I bought them out.
When the German army was in Paris? Hardly a free sale. No, Lemline, no, you have no choice. If you want to keep your plant at all...
Well, the defeated must be practical.
Exactly. I will contact Prince Bereskin in Paris and my firm in New York.
But in the meantime, the plant will be in production.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have no trouble on that. Rentellen Works can roll as soon as we clean up the city. A Herr Burgermeister.
Listen, Yates, you gotta help me.
Something wrong, Troy?
Yeah, I'm security officer in Kremen. I'm supposed to run the racketeers out of town. Today I raided one place, a stinking hole they call the Lower Depths.
I know the place.
You know who lives there? The same people I liberated from Paula concentration camp. Come here, Professor.
Yeah, Herr Hauptmann.
This is Professor Seckendorf. He lives there. Now tell Lieutenant Yates what you told me. Did you get any food?
The relief agency is supposed to issue for us, but the relief commissioner is Herr Bendel. He was in office under the Nazis. He sends us to live in the lower depths.
You hear that? The same stinking Nazi appointed by that new mayor, Lamlein.
You had great moral credit when you came, you Americans. You have lost it when you keep a Nazi in office.
What can I do? I got the professor out of that death camp. Am I supposed to let him rot in the lower depths?
If you could take us away. A big house for all of us. Light, trees, rehabilitation classes. If you could give us one of the biggest states.
There's an idea.
The Rintelen estate, for instance. Give us a chance to work. We work hard. We rebuild our lives if you give us the chance.
All right, Lamline, is that all?
Yeah, Herr Willoughby.
You know, I'm letting you get away with murder. What's the idea of letting Bendel stay as relief commissioner? He was a Nazi party member.
He knows the chop.
Well, Yates and Captain Troy picked him up. He's in jail. Look, Lamline, I'm not playing any games. I don't want any Nazis in the city government.
One has to be practical, Major.
Well, don't stick my neck out.
It is pretty far out now, Major. There's the tax.
What tax?
The 10% tax on all business licensed in Kremen. I hand it over to you.
Oh. Oh, well, be careful, Emmeline, that's all. Be careful. Colonel DeWitt's in from Paris, and he's got a nose like a ferret. Be careful.
General Ferries tells me he's proud of you, Willoughby.
Thank you, Colonel. Thank you. We all work together. Captain Troy's built a fine police force, and Lieutenant Yates runs the German newspaper.
I print your handouts faithfully.
Yates told me about your new mayor.
Lamlin? Oh, fine fellow. Good German organizer.
Vice President of Rintellen, but we're lucky he never joined the Nazi party.
I don't like your tone, Yates. We've got to work with people.
Ask Troy, then. A lot of men were killed, and Lamlin made a lot of dough out of it.
Listen, Yates, you stick to your job. Run that newspaper.
Yeah, sure, but what can I print? Handouts, puff stories about Farish. There is a story I should print. What are we going to do with the Rintellen Mills? And now about the lower depths. Stick around, Colonel DeWitt, you'll see.
Listen, Yates, you're heading for trouble. There's no place in the army for that kind of loose mouth.
Here, stop it, Willoughby. Man's entitled to his opinions. If you don't like him, that doesn't make it loose mouthed.
How about Captain Troy's request?
Are you behind that, Yates? If Troy bothers me once more, so help me, I'll break it.
Now, what's all this about?
Troy wants to confiscate private property like a wild-eyed radical.
That's not exactly it, Colonel.
Listen, Yates, I'm acting as General Farish's orders. There'll be no wholesale requisitioning. If you'll excuse me, Colonel, I've got an important meeting. Goodbye, gentlemen.
What is this hornet's nest, Yates? You've been talking pretty nasty. Willoughby showed a good deal of patience.
Troy wants to set up a training center for the DPs on the Rintellen estate. The fine German gentry don't like brushing elbows with a concentration camp scum. It embarrasses them. So they've shoved them down in the lower depths. Colonel, there's no good reason why Major Willoughby should be protecting the Rintellen estates. There's lots of room out
there. That's a matter for the German authorities, Yates.
No, it's important to us. If I can print in my newspaper that the Rintellen estate's been turned over to the concentration camp victims, that'll spell out something to the Germans. No business as usual. That we mean it when we say democracy.
Well, I'll admit I can't figure Willoughby out. Nothing I can do now. He did take off in a hurry, didn't he?
His important meeting. Major Willoughby has a new interest in Kremen.
A new interest?
I saw her at the officers' club. Built, Colonel, but really built.
Look at the road.
With you around.
Look at the road, Liebling.
Ah, no, you're prettier. You know, it's a miracle that you lived through concentration camp without a mark.
Oh, I don't like to think about it, Clary. I still remember the Nazis. Somebody must have given orders that there was to be no marks on me. It was so terrible.
Oh, now, listen. Listen, honey, I've got a new dress for you down at the office from Paris.
Oh, a new one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Clary, when will I see it?
Tomorrow. It's cut sort of, you know. Oh, here we are.
Clary?
Hmm?
Do you think it's all right for me to live here on the Rintellen estate?
Well, did Lamlin say anything? Or try anything? If he did,
No, nothing.
Oh.
But I don't think he likes me.
Well, he'd better. Marianne, in Kremen, I give the orders and Lamlin jumps. Well, I'll pick you up tomorrow at 6. Good night, honey.
Clary.
Who's there? Who's that? I'll fire.
No, Clary, it's all right.
Who was that?
Just Eric Stane, Herr Lamlin's cousin.
Oh.
He was released last week from a prisoner of war camp. He lives here now.
Cousin, eh? Well, I almost put a slug in him. Anyway, it gives me another chance to say goodnight.
Clary.
Yates, you remember Professor Sekundov. He's got something for us.
Have you been getting on all right, Professor?
I wish to make a report.
What's that?
There is a girl, Marianne Blifeld.
Marianne? Hey, isn't that...
Willoughby's playmate. She's an ex-concentration camp victim, isn't she, right?
No. That is it. She is not.
What's this?
Jawohl, she was at Polar Consumption Camp. I saw her there.
Well?
But she was no prisoner.
What?
She was the woman of the SS guards.
Gates, this is the break, Troy. You're sure, Professor? You can swear to this?
Yeah, she was the woman for the Nazis. And I have seen her. She lives where the American nature has placed her, on the Rintelen Estate.
Rintelen Estate. There it is, Troy. I think I'll ask the lady a few questions, Yates. Come on, we'll have a showdown.
Yeah, this is the woman.
You're sure, Professor?
It's a lie. A lie.
Lieutenant, you will see. She has no concentration camp number tattooed on her arm.
Gates, this is most presumptuous.
Well, Marianne, roll up your sleeve.
All right. All right, it's true.
Marianne!
I was arrested in Munich because I picked somebody's pocket. The SS man got me out of jail. Well, why shouldn't I get out of jail? Why shouldn't I have nice clothes and food now? You only go after me because I have no influence. How about Lamline? How about that cousin?
Cousin? What cousin?
Lamline's cousin. Shut up all day. Only going out at night.
What's all this got to do with
me? Have you seen this man, Major?
What is this all about? I've got nothing to do with this. She lied to me. Oh, sure, I kept her, but she double-crossed me.
Clary, please leave me.
Don't you come up to me now, tramp.
Tramp? You say that now? You'll throw me away? Send me back to jail? Now, I know you too well. Clary, mein Liebling. Ich weiß zu viel.
Shut up, you little gutter rat.
Nein, nein, ich weiß zu viel. The 10% you get out of every business in Kremen. Herr Lamline told me...
Lying little, you... Yates. Yates, you go out of your way to make enemies. If Lamline's been grafting, it's news to me. You can't prove anything.
Maybe not, Major, but we'll try. Hey, Kroll! Send out a squad and pick up Herr Burgermeister Lamline. Then we'll see about that cousin. Pettinger. Eric Pettinger, the man who ordered your men shot down right under our noses all this time.
I swore, Yates.
Lamline's phony cousin. Troy, he's been out at the Rintelen Estate all along. Willoughby didn't know anything about it. You can give him credit for that anyway.
Pettinger. Pettinger.
The war goes on, Troy, even now. Even with Willoughby pulling his deals, the war goes on.
Yates, I hope he won't give up. I hope he won't. 15 men in one lousy pile, you remember? Yates, I hope he doesn't give up.
All right, Pettinger, I'm coming in after you. I'm coming in after you.
What happened out there, DeWitt?
Pettinger's dead, General. Troy had to shoot him.
Good. Now, Willoughby.
General, it's...
Blast it, Willoughby. I won't stand for a crook under my command.
But, General, there's no proof. The word of one lying girl of a confessed...
Listen, you mealy-mouthed weasel. I can't court-martial you, but I can ship you out of Europe so fast your head'll swim.
General, if you'd only let me...
Get out. Get out of my office. Get out of my town. So help me, if I see you again in that uniform, I'll break my crop across your face. Now get out. Get out!
Yes, sir.
I picked him. So help me, I picked him. I put that crook in power.
He fooled us all, General.
But I should have known. I'm in command. Do it. So help me, I'd rather be back in Normandy pushing a tank against a hedgerow. I should have known. I'm in command.
You have quite a day, haven't you, Yates?
No, not particularly, Major.
Yates, you think you've won something big, don't you? You've got the Rintelen Estate for your scarecrows, but I'm going back to the States through Paris.
Listen, Major,
There's
I'm
a
not...
a business deal I'll finish in Paris.
Prince Bereskin?
Never mind. You think you've won, you and DeWitt, the rest of the Crusaders, but you haven't. I'm one jump ahead of you in war and peace, Yates. I always have been. While my jeep's waiting. One jump ahead, and I'll stay there.
Well, yeah, it's quite a farewell speech.
Oh, I didn't see you, Colonel.
Willoughby's wrong, though. He's jumped his last jump.
His Paris deal?
Parrish nearly cried in there. Told me to clean up, and I will. I'm following Willoughby back to the States. There won't be any Paris deal.
The war gets fought.
Huh?
Bing said that. You remember that young sergeant? He said this war was using the crooks. That the crooks weren't using the war.
He got killed, didn't he?
He got killed. He told me that no matter how many deals and angles those few men figured, they had to do their job for the war. And in the long run, the job would catch up with them.
Well, it caught up with Willoughby. That was good work, Lieutenant, bucking brass that way.
I had my neck out, I guess. Way out. Funny guy, that Bing. He thought the war was a crusade.
I suppose it was. Still is.
I envy you going back to the States, Colonel. That's where the war will be finished.
Yates, it doesn't really matter where you are these days. We're still fighting the same enemy wherever he crawls out in the light. And if he ever won out in America, we'd all be in a concentration camp.
It'd be crowded, Colonel, that concentration camp. But I don't think it'll ever be built. I think too many men would say, who are you trying to push around? What are you trying to put over?
Who are you trying to push around? I suppose that's as good an answer as any. Oh, come on, Lieutenant. I got a pack. I'll give you a lift in my jeep.
You have been listening to The Crusaders, an NBC University Theater production of the novel by Stephen Heim, starring Cesar Romero. If you wish to expand your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC University Theater. These courses are offered by the University of Tulsa in Oklahoma, Kansas State Teachers College, and the University of Louisville. For full information as to how you may enhance your knowledge through these home study courses, write to NBC University Theater in care of the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas. Next week, be with us again at the NBC University Theater for a dramatization of one of the most provocative books of this century, George Orwell's 1984. Our star at that time, Mr. David Niven. And on the following broadcast, a radio version of Mary Webb's great romantic novel, Precious Bane. The Crusaders was prepared for radio by Ernest Canoy, starred as Lieutenant Yates, Cesar Romero, who appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of Come to the Stable, co-starring Celeste Holm and Loretta Young. Our cast included Wally Mayer, Charles Seal, Lynn Whitney, Shep Mencken, Don Diamond, Sidney Miller, Tom Charlesworth, Jeff Corey, William Lally, Jan Arvan, Stan Waxman, Ken Christie, Norman Field, Maya Gregory. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Our intermission commentator was Dr. Harvey C. Webster, whose commentary was recorded. The original music score was composed and conducted by Dr. Albert Harris. The director of the NBC University Theater is Andrew C. Love. Today's NBC University Theater production of The Crusaders came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.